Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, the 9th of May, Pope Leo XIV presides over his first Mass as Pope. The Holy See Press Office announces his schedule for his first weeks of pontificate, and Vatican Radio speaks to the Ukrainian Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia about the new Pope's election. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The morning after being elected the 267th Pope, Leo XIV celebrated Mass with the Cardinal Electors in the Sistine Chapel, as well as with other cardinals in Rome, marking his first Mass as Pope. He reminded the cardinals that they are to bear witness to their joyful faith in Christ, whilst warning them that where faith is lacking, life loses meaning. And he even offered some thoughts in English. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
We are called to bear witness to our joyful faith in Christ the Savior. Pope Leo XIV gave this heartfelt reminder during his first Mass as Pope. The new U.S.-born Pope began with a few words in English.
I begin with a word in English, and the rest is in Italian. As we celebrate this morning, I invite you to recognize the marvels that the Lord has done, the blessings that the Lord continues to pour out upon all of us.
In his homily, which he then gave in Italian, he said, Christ showed us a model of human holiness that we can all imitate, together with the promise of an eternal destiny that transcends all our limits and abilities. Even today, he warned, there are many settings in which the Christian faith is considered absurd, meant for the weak and unintelligent, settings where other securities are preferred, contexts, he noted, where it is not easy to preach the gospel and bear witness to its truth, where believers are mocked, opposed, despised, or at best tolerated and pitied. Yet, precisely for this reason, he said, they are the places where our missionary outreach is desperately needed. A lack of faith, he noted, is often tragically accompanied by the loss of meaning in life, the neglect of mercy, appalling human dignity violations, the crisis in family, and so many other wounds. Pope Leo reassured, this is the world that has been entrusted to us, one in which, as Pope Francis taught us so many times, we are called to bear witness to our joyful faith in Christ.
Perciò anche per noi è essenziale ripetere, tu sei il Cristo, il figlio del Dio vivente.
He said it is essential to do this, first of all, in our personal relationship with the Lord, in our commitment to a daily journey of conversion. Then as a church, he noted, we are to do the same, experiencing together our fidelity to the Lord and bringing the good news to all, so that Christ may remain, to spend oneself to the utmost, so that all may have the opportunity to know and love him. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Welcoming the election of Pope Leo XIV, the Ukrainian Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia told Vatican Radio that although he shares the joy of many Americans for an American-born pope, his joy is really an ecclesial and spiritual one. Archbishop Boris Gudziak also reflected on the name Robert Prevost has chosen.
Pope Leo XIV has taken the name of his predecessor, Leo XIII, who really articulated in a modern way Catholic social doctrine, which is based on the gospel and was a response to the plight of the poor and laborers during the time of 19th century industrialization, but also a response to communism, to Marxism. But we shouldn't forget that Leo was not only a pope of the 19th century, the first Leo, Pope Leo the Great, was a very important theologian, the Pope of the Chalcedonian Council that helped the Church understand who Christ is, that it is truly God and truly man. So the name Leo represents a very broad theological, historical tradition, which includes clarity in doctrine, and very radical social outreach. Those characteristics are represented in the choice of the name, and I hope they are also something that Pope Leo XIV will be able to articulate in a fruitful, life-giving manner. He has a very kind face. He speaks in a gentle, loving way, emphasizing that we are all loved by God. He encourages the world, the church, to build bridges, to engage in dialogue, to be open to all. And this emphasis on God's love is something that I think we all need to hear. I need to hear it time and time again. And I thank God and I thank the cardinals for choosing a Holy Father, a Bishop of Rome, who will speak to me, will speak to you, will speak to all of us about God's love to us all.
That was Boris Gujak, the Ukrainian Metropolitan Archbishop of Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the Holy See has announced the upcoming schedule for the newly elected pontiff, including the Mass to inaugurate his pontificate. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
Pope Leo XIV's schedule for the next couple weeks will be packed with firsts. Starting on Saturday, May 10th, the 267th Pope will hold a meeting with cardinals. The next day, he will mark his first public appearance since his election with the Regina Caeli prayer and greeting from the Central Loggia of St. Peter's Basilica. The audiences will continue on May 12th with the international press and a meeting with the diplomatic corps or heads of mission. On Sunday, May 18th, Pope Leo XIV will celebrate his inaugural Mass at 10 a.m. in St. Peter's Square, marking the beginning of his pontificate. 2 days later, he will take possession of the Papal Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. On May 21st, the public will have the opportunity to partake in Pope Leo XIV's first general audience as pontiff. That Saturday, May 24th, the Roman Curia and Vatican City employees will have a private audience with the newly elected Pope. And the weeks of firsts conclude with the Regina Caeli prayer on Sunday, May 25th in St. Peter's Square. And on that day, Pope Leo XIV will also take possession of the Papal Basilicas of St. John Lateran and St. Mary Major. And in another statement, the Holy See Press Office shared the Holy Father's wish that the heads and members of the institutions of the Roman Curia, as well as the secretaries and the president of the Pontifical Commission for the Vatican City State, continue on a provisional basis in their respective roles, donec aliter provideatur, until otherwise provided. Pope Leo XIV, however, maintains the right to a certain amount of time for reflection, prayer, and dialogue before making any definitive appointments or confirmations. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And finally, in his remarks from the Loggia of St. Peter's Basilica on Thursday evening, Pope Leo XIV spoke of the Church's desire to be a synodal church, a church that moves forward. The new Pope's words recalling the synodal process initiated by his immediate predecessor. In October of last year, during the second session of the Synod on Synodality, and in his capacity as prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops, then Cardinal Prevost spoke with Vatican News about the role of bishops in a synodal church.
One of the things that I certainly have learned more about in the process of the Synod is the, if you will, wide varieties of understanding the ministry of the bishop, sometimes determined by cultural factors, sometimes determined, of course, by personal issues, personality, the character of the bishop. But above all and around or underneath all of that has to be a foundation of who a bishop is called to be. And as Pope Francis has reminded us many times, a bishop is called to serve. His authority is service. And so to look for different ways in which a bishop can serve in any given society, in any given church, I think is very important. The bishop is not supposed to be a little prince sitting in his kingdom, but rather called authentically to be humble, to be close to the people he serves, to walk with them, to suffer with them, and to look for ways that he can better live the gospel message in the midst of his people.
From your particular perspective in the Dicastery for Bishops, is there a particular or specific hope or desire that you have for the synod with regard to your particular competence?
One of the things that has been very interesting in the synod is the opportunity to dialogue with people, some of whom have not known, because it's not very public, they have not known the very detailed, deep process that goes on as we look for candidates to become bishops. I can only speak for the past few years. I was a member, of course, of the Dicastery a couple years before I came to prefect. But in trying to look for bishops who indeed respond to the criteria that Pope Francis has set out in saying who he wants bishops to be and how he wants us to serve, how he wants us to be close to the people, to open the church, to invite people in, not to exclude, not to be primarily, if you will, dogmatic preachers, but much rather to live the gospel message and through witness, through service, to be that figure which really represents the presence of Jesus Christ in the community and draws others to the community precisely because of the attractiveness of love and mercy. And I think that's what Pope Francis really asks us to be.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. Many thanks today go to our sound engineering studio, Alberto Giovannetti. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.